Greetings to all of you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus. Glad that we can worship him this morning, this beautiful day. We'll thank the young people for getting together and putting some work into that, those songs for us this morning. Also thank Brother Dan for sharing that scripture in relation to the coming of Christ. Like the song we sing sometimes, what a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. But I guess there's no, I don't know if there's any clouds in the sky, so the Bible says he's coming with clouds. Whether that's the literal clouds of the sky, like we think about, or the clouds of the saints coming with him, I'm not always sure exactly. But I'm sure that a cloudless day doesn't mean that Christ would not return. Clouds can appear very quickly. I'm sure God can create that. But let's be ready. I think the one of the thoughts, I guess, that's been impressed upon my mind in the last year or so especially has been the thought that there has been I would say an increase of events and happenings that point to the last days. Now, I know we've always said we believe we're living in the last days in our generation, but I think especially in the last year, the signs are clear in relation to where we stand in the history of the world, God's timetable. We are much closer to the end than, of course, ever before, but I believe the signs of our generation are very clear. May God help us to be prepared for when Christ will break through the clouds of heaven and appear for us. I would like this morning for a message to, I'd like to think about the idea of a man's quest or search for truth. And this can be, you could say, in a sense, elementary, when we think about truth, and yet I would think that as we understand the implications of this, it is also very profound. You may turn with me to John chapter 18, and verse 38 is where I'm going to start here. And this is a question that we're familiar with that Pilate asked at the end of the trial of Jesus. And Pilate's question has reverberated down through the centuries in relation to the human quest for truth. In verse 38, Pilate saith unto him, speaking of Jesus, what is truth? Now, in thinking of this, it's a question that you and I ask many times in our hearts, if not in words. And I'd like to read now the setting of this passage and like to notice also what Jesus says here in relation to truth. Then we want to go further into this message and explore this whole idea of man's search for truth and our search for truth. So let's back up to verse 33, John 18, 33. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. In other words, what you're saying is right. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Now, thinking of this interesting passage of Jesus' revelation to Pilate about himself, acknowledging that he was a king of a different kind of kingdom, a kingdom not of this world. But he came, Jesus said, as a king to bear witness unto the truth. And it is interesting that when Jesus there said, Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And then Pilate asked this question, which I think came from the frustration and maybe the difficulty of this situation, when the Jews were saying one thing and the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were condemning him. And here Jesus, in his calmness and quietness, did not behave at all like a condemned man. And I think it was disconcerting to Pilate, because here was a man that was before him to be tried, and yet this man, this condemned person, condemned man, was in full control of the situation. And every time Pilate would ask a question and Jesus would answer it, sometimes he didn't answer them, but sometimes he did. Why, Jesus' answer was even the more disconcerting to Pilate. And so I think when Pilate asked this question, it was a genuine question, but also a question probably out of frustration, of trying to understand and ascertain the truth. And he says, What is truth? Now we could say, well, how sincere was that question? Because he never waited for an answer. And he asked the question, and then he went out and talked to the Jews. So what is fascinating is that when Pilate asked this question of what is truth, the whole embodiment of truth was standing right in front of him. And Jesus could have just as well said, I am truth. Because that's really what he said the end of verse 37. You're looking at truth. I am truth. And in that sense, Pilate missed the opportunity of his life to know the truth. In our lives, and I believe in the life of every normal human being, there's that question about what is truth. Now, there's a lot of different ways in which this question comes to us. You know, it can be in the small things of life. You know, whether it's as a parent with our children, we're trying to ascertain the truth about a certain happening, or scrap among the children. You know, who's telling the truth and who's not. You know, maybe it's in the classroom as a teacher trying to ascertain the truth about a situation. It can be in the workplace. It can be in a lot of different areas of life where the question can be posed, you know, what is the truth? You know, in society in which we live, I've been thinking about this whole idea of truth. And I would say that in a fallen society that is sliding further and further away from the morals of a Judeo-Christian foundation, truth is lost, truth is dying, there's the death of truth, and that is sad. That is a darkness, that is a new and increased darkness that is descending upon civilization, the world today, the death of truth. And the morals of people, of course, go with that. And the justification for a relative form of truth in their eyes, which is really no truth at all. You have situational ethics, which simply means that in some situations, this is right, in other situations, Something else is right. And we can get caught up in that a bit sometimes. And, you know, and depending on who we're with and where we are or whatever, and what we think we're allowed to do or could do or should do, can be situational ethics, where truth becomes a little relative even. And we act differently, and, you know, because of certain situations. We call that situational ethics. It can be the loss of truth. So in thinking of this morning, while there's a lot of the small areas of life where we think about the search for truth, but I would say beyond all those things is deep within the heart, and as I said before, of every normal person, that desire to know, like, what is true? Where is truth? What do you believe? What should I believe? How do I finally determine what is right? What about the doubts at times that may come in relation to what is truth? You talk to a lot of people in the world and society today, you know, in relation to the religious scene. They say, well, you know, this group says they have the truth, and this other religion say they have the truth, and everybody thinks they have the truth. You know, and there's people, many people just kind of throw up their hands and say, well, how do you ever figure it out? How do you ever know? And that's probably a fair question. But I would like to say this morning, in relation to the scriptures, that God is not deliberately hiding truth from the world. Even though at times it may seem difficult, it may seem almost impossible to know truth, our God, our Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is not deliberately hiding truth from people. We may be standing in our own shadow, as it were, hiding in a certain sense of darkness ourselves. And we're going to come to that later in this message, Lord willing. But you know, where there is an honest search, an honest quest for truth, I believe that God always delivers. I don't have a lot of these stories here today, but we could talk about them. It's very interesting to read some of the accounts of individuals who have very little Bible knowledge, or almost no Bible knowledge. Some of them have never even seen a Bible. But there's that searching, there's that quest. Whether it's in Muslim countries or other areas of the world where there is a lack of spiritual understanding. And it may be a simple prayer like saying, God, if you really are alive, if you really can hear me, can you show yourself to me? You know, a small prayer like that. And God has come through. To those individuals that have in sincerity prayed that in remarkable ways. I find it so fascinating and so faith-building. And that's why I believe that where there's a sincere desire to seek the truth, God will always show himself in one way or another and lead that person. And so this morning, let's first of all believe that God, in his sovereignty, in his wisdom, in his omnipotence, and in his omniscience, is always seeking for mankind to know truth. Now, the scriptures talk a lot about truth, and rightfully so. It is a book of truth. We believe that, and I will say, somewhat as a disclaimer at the beginning of this message, that we're going to begin this discussion, this message this morning, on the assumption that we all believe that the scriptures are God's truth. Now, if this was being delivered or preached to a primary audience of those who were not convinced of the truth of scripture, we would begin at a different level of argument, of course, in presenting this. But this morning, I believe that we're speaking to believers. We're speaking to those who basically we accept, you know, the truth of Scripture and what God has to say about himself. Now, I would like to next look at the origin of truth. You think about all truth begins with God himself. All error and lies and falsehood are of the devil. The Bible makes that clear. There is a source of truth. And as that is recognized, you know, the truth has an origin, because truth is not created out of nothing, as it were. But if there is an absolute truth in the world that we can believe in, you have to also say that truth then has an origin. Now, the existence of a visible world, I believe, testifies to a source, or a, you could say a source of origin. Romans 1 talks about the creation itself is a witness that there is a creator God. And individuals, you know, that study science and the origins of creation and all of that, that we know, deliberately have to ignore that fact. And we could go into that. That's another whole subject in itself. But we also, in relation to the origin of truth this morning, we believe that God wants all men to know truth. That is his desire. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4, where it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So it simply says that God wants all men to understand truth. Now, John 14 and verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And that, again, that would be another whole subject. When you think about what Christ has embodied in that statement about himself, but he says, I am the truth. I am the truth. And so we accept that this morning by faith. And in relation to the origin of truth, that it resides with God himself. All lies, falsehoods, and all of that is of the devil. Now, I would like to next think for a little bit about the power of truth. And this, there's a lot of things that we could talk about with this. When you think about the power of truth. Now, it seems sometimes, when you look at society, when you look at the world overall, you look at the human condition in relation to truth versus falsehood, it would seem like lies and falsehood prevails at times. Like it is said sometimes, you know, that lies can be halfway around the world before truth gets her shoes on. And it can feel that way. And when you look at the masses of humanity falling for the lies that are propagated today, it's astounding. And I would even say a little frightening when you think about it. But then I had to think also in relation to what the scripture says, that in the last days, Jesus repeatedly tells us about the last days. He said, you know, beware that ye be not deceived. And the last days are going to be characterized by mass deception and lies and falsehood, and people are going to believe this stuff. And it's a warning to us to have our feet anchored in truth, that we are not swayed. Jesus said that part of the condition of the last days is going to be that there's going to be many that fall away from the truth. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. They lose their way. They lose truth. And they believe the lies of this present age, of this world. And so this morning I'm so thankful, and we can be so thankful, that God has promised that he will not let us in darkness as it relates to truth. But there's always going to be a way. There's always going to be that shining light of truth for those who sincerely seek it. There is the power of truth. And part of this relation to the power of truth is that we must accept the verdict of truth about the true condition of our own heart. I believe this is where salvation and the work of God in our hearts all begins. And that is accepting the verdict of truth about the condition of our own heart. Why do so many who hear the gospel, know the gospel, refuse to respond, refuse to accept Christ? It's because, primarily, because they refuse to accept the verdict of truth about the true condition of their own heart. We're still, it's that idea, you know, if you just think back of why I resisted the truth, or you resisted the truth, before you came to that brokenness of heart, it's because I did not accept God's verdict about the true condition of my own heart. I was not that bad. And you tell someone, you try, and you witness to them, or you explain to them the true condition of the human heart without God, and they usually are offended, unless they're really being honest and broken in heart. They're offended. You know, I'm not that bad. You go to Romans 3, and it's not a pretty picture of the human heart. And finally concludes, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a terrible scene, a terrible situation. And that is where, in relation to the power of truth, it's only going to begin in our hearts when we accept what the verdict of truth is about the true condition of our own heart. Even after we experience salvation, the work of God within, there must continually be that honesty about the verdict of truth about myself. The possibility of us falling into apostasy, the possibility of us taking a path away from truth, we have to recognize that that potential is with us. And that's why the scriptures over and over again encourage us to faithfulness and brokenness and following the Holy Spirit and following truth and walking in truth, which is a biblical term, to walk in truth so that we do not take a side road into error. And again, it is that verdict of truth about the possibility of us losing our way, losing truth, and thereby responding to lies, to falsehood, and all of that. Truth has the power to change hard hearts and to make them soft. You think about the power of truth in the change of heart. You've seen it. If you're a child of God this morning, you've experienced it. Things that you thought would never change, or would not change, changed when we allowed truth to get a hold of us. People have said, well, I will never do that. I would never. But then they did it because their whole heart was changed. Truth has the power to change the hardest of hearts when they're willing to open themselves to its power. Came across this story. It was new to me. I know some of the details of it, but never put this story together or heard it put together like this. Lew Wallace was a general in the Civil War. I think he fought under Ulysses Grant. He was governor of New Mexico in the mid-1800s, 1850, 1860, somewhere in there. Governor of New Mexico, and he was writing a book against Jesus Christ because he was an atheist after he was out of politics, but in the process was converted to Christianity, and he told a friend how it happened. I'm going to read this. It just shows, again, the power of truth. He says like this, I had always been an agnostic and denied Christianity. He was a more militant type of agnostic, almost you could say more atheist. Robert C. Ingersoll, a famous agnostic, was one of my most intimate friends. He once said, see here, Wallace, you are a learned man and a thinker. Why don't you gather material and write a book to prove the falsity concerning Jesus Christ, that no such man has ever lived, much less the author of the teachings found in the New Testament? Such a book would make you famous. It would be a masterpiece and a way of putting an end to the foolishness about the so-called Christ. Wallace went home and told his wife about the project. She was a member of the Methodist Church and did not like the idea. But Wallace began to collect material from libraries all over the world that covered the period in which Jesus Christ should have lived. He did that for several years and then began writing. He was four chapters into the book, he says, when it became clear to him that Jesus Christ was just as real a personality as Socrates, Plato, or Caesar. The conviction became a certainty. I knew that Jesus Christ had lived because the facts connected with the period in which he lived. So he asked himself candidly, if he was a real person, was he not then also the Son of God and the Savior of the world? Gradually, Wallace realized that since Jesus Christ was a real person, he probably was the one he claimed to be. I fell on my knees to pray for the first time in my life. I asked God to reveal himself to me. Forgive my sins, help me to become a follower of Christ. Toward morning, the light broke into my soul. I went into my bedroom, woke my wife, and told her I had received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Oh, Lou, she said, I have prayed for this ever since you told me of your purpose to write this book, that you would find him while you wrote it. Wallace went on to write another famous book in 1880. It was published called Ben-Hur, A Tale of the Christ, written by a man who wanted to disprove that Jesus ever existed and instead became convinced that he was the greatest man who ever lived. That's just one story that illustrates the power of truth. Power of truth to change hearts when they are exposed to it. I'd like to think a little bit now about the freedom of truth. Truth only gives freedom when we believe it and apply it in our lives. We cannot say, I believe something, if we do not act upon it. And there are many people who say, well, yes, I am a Christian, but their actions disprove that claim. Truth only gives freedom when we believe it and apply it in our lives. It's why in the spiritual journey that every one of us is on in our quest for truth, there must always be a response, a positive response to truth as it is revealed to us. Some are on this journey a shorter time. Some of us are on this journey a longer period of time, but the principles are the same. As truth is revealed to us in that progression and maturity and an understanding of the work of God within us in his Holy Spirit, we must positively respond to the truth as it is revealed to us. Jesus said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. It is that willingness, that responsibility to act upon truth as it is revealed to us. If at any point in our lives we say, no, I don't like this. I don't like this truth. because of what it's going to cost me. I don't like this truth because of what it's going to require of me, maybe in sacrifice or change of life or just identifying with, you know, the simple people of God. I don't want to do this. At whatever point, you know, we resist that truth. We push ourselves to take a side road and alter God's purposes in revealing that truth to us. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize. That was truth and moving forward. And so often we see individuals and we can sense that same tendency at times within us, whereas truth is revealed, we cringe. It kind of hits us in the face, or as we say, it steps on our toes, and we don't like this truth because it's just going to mean more self-discipline or sacrifice or take me places I don't really wish to go in my life. And we resist it. We hold back. We don't want to do it. At that point, we start to put ourselves back into spiritual darkness again. But as truth is revealed to us, as I said, in any one of our lives, in our spiritual journey, our quest or search for truth, we must always respond in a positive way to God through as His Holy Spirit works within us to draw us and to lead us in that progressive relationship with Him. John 8, verse 32, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. That continual search for truth. And then Jesus in the next verse says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Back to the passage we began with, where Jesus here to Pilate said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So if we are going to stay in that search for truth in our lives, we're going to need to respond to the voice of God, to the voice of Christ, to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, compared to the bondage of error, thinking about the freedom of truth and how truth frees us, you know how the freedom that we experience when we acknowledge the Scriptures or God's verdict about the condition of our own soul, and we made that confession to God on our knees, to God in saying, I am a sinner. In other words, I am as bad as you said I was. And we accept that. And in that acknowledgement is a sense of freedom. You know, in the new birth, in that moment of forgiveness, there's a freedom like we've never felt before. Condemnation is gone. Like Romans 8 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, because we accepted the truth about ourselves. And on that basis, God can do His work within us. And so there's that freedom. Now compare that to the bondage of error. When we're in denial, you know, when we don't want to admit the truth, and we struggle and we fight and we push and we just try to somehow deny the truth about ourselves. It's the bondage of error. How can we recognize the snare of error around us? We must want to avoid the path of error. I think there are times when individuals, and maybe even ourselves, we can feel it sometimes, but there are those who actually are looking for a way out of the path of truth because of where their heart is, where their desire is. So we must want to avoid the path of truth at all costs if we're going to be able to see the error of it. If we don't care about the error, not concerned about it, we're going to fall into it. If we allow a hankering after the world in our hearts in relation to truth, we open ourselves to error. We also need to recognize the snare of false teachers. And the scripture makes this very clear. We talked about this before in relation to the last days and the deceivers that are going to go around and deceive people. Also, Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 4, where Paul here tells Timothy, he says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick or the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now listen, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Think about that. To go from truth to fables. We must recognize the snare of false teachers. We need to pray for God's wisdom and discernment. Paul talks in Romans 16, verse 18, of those deceivers, says, who by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. 2 Peter 2, verses 18 to 21. For when they speak, this is speaking of deceivers or false teachers, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those who were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. To know the truth and to turn from it is very serious, according to this scripture and others. In fact, it says it would be better not to know the way of righteousness than to know it and to turn from it. Why? Because judgment is according to knowledge. What a person knows, we are accountable for. And I remember a man years ago said, well, then I don't want to know anymore. I remember telling him, it's too late, you already know. To say that means you already know. The knowledge of the truth makes us accountable. And I'm not sure what all this involves, but better not to have known truth than to turn from truth. Truth is powerful. Truth is the righteousness of God. And it relates to the judgment according to truth. Well, in the last part here now, how can we continue to find the path of truth? Again, the question comes to us, what is truth? Where are we at in our search for truth? The quest to understand the truth of God, the truth of relation to this world and ourselves and all the things that relate to it. Well, first of all, we must reconcile with the origin of truth. By denying Christ, denying God as the origin of truth is always a roadblock. Individuals have that problem or that doubt. You know, but we must reconcile with the origin of truth, which is God himself. We must be sincere and honest in our search for truth. You know, it can't be some sort of haphazard, you know, situation where we kind of, yeah, I should probably, you know, dig into this more, understand more, or yeah, there's some things I probably should do better, but you know, that haphazard approach to truth is going to deceive us. But we must have a sincere and honest search for truth. And we don't have the time to go into this, but you could read through like Matthew and the other Gospels in relation to Jesus' scathing rebuke to the Pharisees, you know, who they thought, or they, you know, they claimed that they were keepers of the truth, and they were leaders of the truth, you know, and they had the truth. And they accused Jesus of being of Beelzebub, you know, because they had the truth. And Jesus said, you have your father, the devil. You know, he is a liar from the beginning. There's no truth abides in him. And you're the children of him. In other words, you're believing lies. You're not accepting truth. And as Jesus revealed it to them, you know, they just kept turning it away and pushing it away. But he said, you know, one place, that you're going to know, you're going to understand. After the resurrection, you will know. And I believe they did. But again, because of their pride, their position, and all that they wanted to defend, they still would not admit it, even though they knew that they had made a mistake. So we must be sincere and honest in our search for truth. Why did the publicans and sinners who followed Jesus and gladly received his words, why did they find the truth when those religious leaders that knew many of the scriptures probably by memory missed it, missed the truth? It's because those publicans and sinners were honest and they were sincere in their search and quest for truth. And that just illustrates for us again in our lives that we must be sincere and honest in our search for truth. Not have an agenda, you know, not have, you know, limits of how far we're going to go with God, but that it's all on the table. And we know that it will continue to be that way. We must also be willing to accept the demands truth will make upon our life. We talked about this. Just want to reinforce this point again. When you think about those who, in a sense, seem to have that desire and quest for truth, but then turn away. The rich young ruler, it would be an illustration of that. We know that story well. And Jesus touched an area of his life and said, right here is some truth for you. Some truth about yourself and about where your heart is. Go sell what you have because that's where your heart is. And then come follow me. And he walked away. He couldn't handle that truth. There's other times in Scripture where, you know, we have that type of a story recorded for us. We see it around us today where individuals come to a certain point in their life, you know, a certain part of their desire to seems to be sincere in responding to the voice of God in truth. And then it's like the cost is too much. No, I don't want to go that far. I don't want to be that radical about Christianity. You know, I'm going to stop right here. And whenever you take a roadblock or set up a roadblock, you take a detour, it's away from truth. It's always away from truth. We cannot do that. And so we must be willing to accept the demands that truth will make upon our life. We also dare never stop in our pursuit of truth as long as we are in this life. And John 18 and verse 37, Jesus said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. It's this verse, or part of that verse again, that Jesus spoke before Pilate. And you think about the importance of us never feeling that we are mature enough in our search for truth, that we've had enough. We kind of have reached that level now that we pretty well have understand it and figured it out. As long as we're in this life, there must still be that thirst, that quest, that search for truth. It never stops because God will never stop leading us and drawing us to himself. We need to judge all new ideas by the truth already revealed to us. And that's why Paul, in his writings to Timothy and Titus and others, you know, he talks about this, you know, to remember who taught you. Remember what you've been taught, you know, and the truth that you already received, and build upon that. And there's a sense in which, and you see it today in society, where individuals, because of their turning away from the truth, they want to rewrite history. You know, they want to change all the past. And they want to, look, I think it was Gaddafi, when the British government closed the embassy there in Tripoli. He was so upset at that he made all the school books, all the geography books, take Britain off the map. And they redrew the map. They say that if you go by a map in Libya today, that it's Britain's not on there. I can't prove that, but at least at that time, Britain was taken off the map. Did that change the truth that there was a country, you know, British country there, that island off, you know, the shores of France? You know, truth, you know, and you think about, you know, this in relation to judging all new ideas by the truth already revealed to us. You know, and that didn't change anything. And we can do it in a lot of other different ways. And sometimes people are like, well, we're just going to reinvent the wheel. But there's so much human history. There's so much human experience. There's so many lessons from history that already speak to truth, that we'd be fools to try to rewrite that history and say that none of that matters. So we build upon the truth already received as we evaluate what is truth and what is error going forward. Also, we need to know and follow the Holy Spirit in our lives. You think about that indwelling presence that God gives to us. Jesus said he is the Spirit of truth, and he lives within us. Truth is not distant. It is not hard to find for the Christian. It is that voice within, the voice of truth that we can follow. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Spirit of truth lives within us, and he's going to speak that truth to our hearts. That is such a blessing. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him, speaking of the Holy Spirit, abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you in all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Brothers and sisters, friends, this morning we have that Holy Spirit of truth abiding within us that will teach us and guide us in truth as we're sincere and faithful in following that. We must also love the truth regardless of how uncomfortable it may sometimes be for us. It can make us squirm. It can shine lights into dark corners of our hearts, but that is the truth. And we want to respond in a positive way to that. Not run and hide, but allow that light to open and sanctify our hearts. We must always be humble in our pursuit of truth, regardless of where we're at in this spiritual journey. Some, as I said before, are newer on the path. Some have been longer on this path in search for truth, but we must always be humble. None of us have arrived home yet. All of us are still in the search for truth. And you think about the encouragement we can give each other, the insight we can give each other, you know, the knowledge that we can share with each other, the wisdom of God we can share with each other to encourage that search for truth. Always reaching for more of God's truth in our lives and for our personal lives and in the congregation, in the church. Always be humble. Not look down on other groups and criticize or you know, be judgmental in that way. Yes, we need to be discerning and all of that, but really, you know, to bless those who maybe are not as far on their spiritual journey in relation to truth, but to encourage them and to help them grow in their knowledge rather than condemn them. If we ever feel lifted up in our hearts and think that we have arrived at the ultimate truth, and start looking down on other people and their struggle to find truth, or look down on other struggling churches who are trying to find God's truth for themselves, we just prove that we ourselves have a long way to go yet in discovering truth. Humility is always, I believe, a part of the sincere heart seeking truth. In closing, Psalm 86, 11 to 15, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. This morning, how are we doing in our search for truth? In that journey, in that quest, that desire to grow in truth, are we careless with truth? Are we casual with truth? Or do we accept it, believe it, and practice it in our lives? May God help us this morning as all of us, as humble seekers of truth, that we might be faithful ourselves and also be an encouragement to others in their search for truth. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you that you are a God of truth. And that gives us a very firm foundation for our lives. We thank you, Father, that though there is a lot of error around, there's a lot of lies, there's a lot of false teaching, a lot of corruption in the world, a lot of people are living a fake life and communicating a lot of the errors of this present age. Father, we thank you. We can know you as the God of truth. That gives us security, gives us blessing. And Father, we pray for each of us here this morning, listening to your word, speak to us. Help us, Father, to be committed to the truth, to seek it in openness and honesty and sincerity, knowing that there's a lot of deception. There's a lot of side roads that the devil offers that look easier, maybe better, sometimes even more, in quote, spiritual. But Father, help us to be discerning. Help us to have the wisdom that you can give us. We thank you for your Holy Spirit within our hearts, that he is the Spirit of truth. And Father, help us to respond in a positive way to each of his prompts within us, so that each of us can continue seeking and finding truth in our lives. We pray this morning for those who have known the truth and have turned away, turned aside. We pray for them that you would have mercy upon them and bring them to your understanding and surrender to truth. And Father, for ourselves and our little ones, we just pray you can